Today's daf is Mem Vav, and we're going to start with Ella, which is where we left off yesterday, four lines down from the top. And let's just remind ourselves that Rav Misharshia made the statement that all those klolim, those principles that apply to Psak Halacha, are not to be relied upon. And the Gemara is looking for a source. What led Rav Misharshia to that conclusion? Elamei hadisnan, it must be from the Mishnah later on in Daf Pei Vav, that says, Ameniach es beis over holach lishbos bi'ir acheres. Normally, if you have a bunch of houses, neighbors that live and share on the same chatzim, then they all have to join together, and they have to establish an Erev Chatzeres, which will allow them to take from their houses into the chatzim. However, one of the individuals who was meant to join in the Erev was nowhere to be found. He had left town. And therefore he wasn't mishtatev, he wasn't a partner in the Erev with the other Bnei HaChatzer. And the Mishnah establishes, Echad Nochri v'Echad Yisrael, it doesn't matter whether that individual who skipped town was a Jew or non-Jew, Oser. He generates an Isur on the Bnei HaChatzer, then I'll let a carry from their homes out into the Chatzer. Because even though he's not available there for Shabbos, and he's not participating in or using the Chatzer for Shabbos, nevertheless he owns a house in that area that and shares the Chatzer. And Divrei Rabbi Meir, that's considered Dira. No, it's the very fact that he owns the house, that itself makes him into one of the Balei Hadira. Therefore, the Erev Chatzeros is critically dependent upon him, and if he doesn't participate in the Erev is completely null and void. That's Rabbi Meir Shita. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Eino Ose. Rabbi Yehuda says it doesn't matter whether he's a Jew or a non-Jew, his Dira is right now suspended. He theoretically and formally and legally owns the house in the Chutz. He should be participating, but if he's not there, he's not available for Shabbos, then at least for Shabbos, he's not considered one of the Dayorim, one of the Bnei HaChutz. And therefore, we can set up the Erev Chatzeros even in his absence, and we don't need his participation. So these are the two extreme Shitas. Rabbi Meir, who says that whether or not the owner of the house is Jewish or non-Jewish, he's critical, he must participate in the Erev in order to be valid. And then on the other extreme, we have the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. He says that it doesn't matter whether he's a Jew or a Goy, if he checks out for Shabbos, he's not around for Shabbos, we don't need his participation. In the middle now, we have a third Shita, which is a compromise Shita. And that's Rabbi Yossi, Omer, Nochri, Oser, Yisrael, Eino Oser. If he's a Goy, then even though he left before Shabbos, we still assume that he's connected to his house for Shabbos, and he may take a car or a train or a bus or a plane and end up back in his house on Shabbos. And therefore, he's still considered one of the Dayorim. He wasn't Mesiach Das, he wasn't discontinuing his connection with the Chatzah, with his bias. In contrast, if the owner of the house is Jewish and he checked out for Shabbos, then we don't anticipate that he's going to show up. He's not taking a plane, train, or a car to show up on Shabbos. Eino osim, b'nei she'ein derech Yisrael lovo b'Shabbos. We don't anticipate that the Jew will return on Shabbos. Therefore, as far as the Jew is concerned, on a conscious level, he's completely disconnected from his house for Shabbos, wherever he's staying. That's where it'll be for Shabbos. He's Mesiach Das from his Dira on Shabbos, and therefore Rabbi Yossi insists that we don't need him to participate in the Erev Chatzeros. For this Shabbos, at least, he's not considered one of the Dayorim. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Im hi niach es beso v'holach lishbos etzel bito b'osa ha'ir, eino oser, shekvar isiach es dato. According to Rabbi Shimon, it really depends. When he checked out of his house on Erev Shabbos, where was he? If he was staying with his daughter, who is one of the Bnei Ha'ir, she also lives in that same city, then that's considered as if he's Mesiach Das from his house. He's very comfortable in his daughter's house, and she's pretty much local, that's where he's going to be for Shabbos. And the chiddush here is shekvar yisiach es dato, even though theoretically he could return in the middle of Shabbos. He doesn't need a car, a bus, he doesn't have to be machal Shabbos, he's within the city, he's walking distance, and nevertheless, Rabbi Shimon says that's also considered hesech hadas. So we have now the most extreme lenient shita, which is that of Rabbi Shimon, who says that the Erev Chatzeros is a valid entity even without the participation of anyone who left for Shabbos, whether one of these Dayarim who left for Shabbos is a Goy, whether he's a Jew, whether he's going far away, whether he's staying locally in the city. In all these cases, that's called Mesiach Das, and therefore he cuts his umbilical cord, he cuts his connection to the Bias, and therefore to the Chotzer, the Erev will go on without him, the show goes on without him. The Amar Rav Chama Bar Gurya, Amar Rav, Halacha Kirabi Shimon. And Rav Paskins Lekula, like Rabbi Shimon, the Erev Chatzeres is valid, even the absence of he who checks out before Shabbos. Now the Gemara wants to analyze, Uman Poligale, who is the Shita who disagrees with him, and based on the Kloli Apsak, do we anticipate Rav's final conclusion? Well, the Mishnah records that Rabbi Yehuda was the one who said that in the case of a Yisrael, Rabbi Yehuda was the one who said that whether or not it's a Jew or a non-Jew, eino oser, and he apparently disagrees with Rabbi Shimon, and he would say that only if the Baal Adira goes to a far-off city, then we can do without him. He doesn't generate an Iser, he doesn't undermine the validity of the Erev Chatzeres. But if he's in the same city, here Rabbi Yehuda is Machmir, and he would say there's no Hesech Hadas, he may show up on Shabbos, there's no violation of the Shabbos necessary, and therefore he's Oser, and he undermines the validity of the Erev Chatzeres. Now wait a second, for Amrit, amongst the various Kolim that we learned about yesterday on Daf Mem Vav, we had the principle that Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Allah, Rabbi Yehuda. So how could it be that Rav accepts La Halacha, the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, against Rabbi Yehuda, where we have a principle that in a Machlok Shin, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda? The very fact that Rav violates this principle, so to speak, and codifies the halacha like Rabbi Shimon against Rabbi Yehuda means that he didn't accept these klolim, and that's what forced Rabbi Misharshia to come to the conclusion that we don't rely on these klolim. Gemara says, "My kusha, that's not a proof." Dilma hachanami, heichad itmar itmar, heichad lo itmar lo itmar. Perhaps we have a tradition that way back at the time of the Tannaim, they accepted the Shita of Rav Shimon, and that's why Rav accepted the Shita of Rav Shimon. But in a case where there was no hachra, there was never a decision made, and it's a toss-up, it's an open-ended situation where we might paskin like this Tana or that Tana, then we apply the Kolam, and we are bound by the Kolam, and even Rav accepts those Kolam. Ella, but rather we have to find another source to prove that these Kolam are not reliable, Mehadisnan, based on a Mishnah a little bit later on in this Perek, and we're talking about a person who on Erev Shabbos is out there traveling, he's out there, Mahalach Baderech, he doesn't have a pas, he doesn't have with him a loaf of bread, in order to establish an Erev Tchumen, to be Kodesh Shvisa with that pas. And the question is, in the absence of a pas, can he establish his Erev based on what's called Halicha Beraglav, meaning he just stands on a certain location, he makes a declaration that Shvisasi b'makom zeh, I want to be Shoves in this place. And the Mishnah records a machlokus on this point. Zehu sha'amru ha'ani ma'ariv ba'araglov. If he's on the derech, and he doesn't have access to a pass, there's no local bakeries where he could buy himself a loaf of bread, then he's allowed to set up this secondary, substitute, fallback position kind of Erev Tchumen with Halicha Beraglav, in the absence of a pas. And Rabbi Meir says, Ein anu, anu, ein lanu, ela ani. Either he's too poor and destitute to buy a loaf of bread, or he's a case of a mahalach baderech who has no access to a pas. He's like an ani. But if you have a person who's Baruch Hashem at home, and he has the funds, he has the wherewithal to buy himself a loaf of bread from the local bakery, then his Erev Tchumen must be with a pas. We don't give him the option. He's not an ani. He's not even a temporary ani. To be ma'arev with halicha baragl. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Echad ani ve'echad asher. Even a person who's at home, he's wealthy, he has access to a pas. Nevertheless, he can still be konesh visa baraglayim, halicha baraglayim. He doesn't need a pas. V'lo amru shema arvim v'pas. Wherever you find, says Rabbi Yehuda, that halacha says that the erev with a pas, that's only an additional possibility, a secondary possibility, el lahakil, to make it easier, ala usher, because if it's halicha baraglav, then the usher personally has to go out there and, you know, chutzli iro, 2,000 amma, and he has to be kodesh visa. But now that we gave him the possibility of being ma'ariv v'pas, lo yetze v'ya'ariv baraglav, he's too busy, he's preoccupied, he's a physician, he has clients that are waiting for him. And therefore, he can send a shliach with a pas, and the shliach will set up the pas for an erev tchumen. But we see that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the fundamental erev is erev baraglav, where he personally goes out there, puts down his feet on a place, and he says tfisasi b'makom zeh. That's the classic erev tchumen. The pas is only a secondary fallback position in an event that he's an usher, he doesn't have time to go out there personally. It would take him a couple extra hours. He doesn't have that. And therefore, he sends a shliach with a pas. Umasni le Rav Chiya Barashi le Chiya Barav. Kami de Rav. Rabbi Chiya was teaching the son of Rav this Mishnah in the presence of Rav. And he taught him the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, that Echad Ani ve'Echad Ashir, that even an Ashir has the option of being Ma'ariv Baraglav, he doesn't need a pas. The Omele Rav, and Rav said to Rav Chia, who is teaching his son, Rav's son, Chia, Sayin Bon Nami, you should also add that halachic Rabbi Yehuda, that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. Now notice, we have a machlokas here between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. One of the kolim is that in a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. Why did Rav have to make a big deal and say we're going to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda Lekula? And there's a possibility, even for an usher, and if it's even lechatchila, to be mahalik baraglav and make an erev tchumen. Tarti lomeli, why do I need twice? We have the principle that in a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. Why did he have to repeat himself? Ha'amid Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, lochak Rabbi Yehuda. So you see, therefore, that Rav did not accept these kolam, and therefore he was compelled to point out to Chia that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. Umay Kusha, Sigmar says, Dilma, Rav lesle lahani kloli. It's very possible that Rav himself never accepted these kolam, but the original author who formulated these kolam was none other than Rabbi Yochanan. And we have a principle that in all Issa v'Het, we always paskin like Rabbi Yochanan against Rav. And therefore, it's Rabbi Yochanan who accepted these kolam, but Rav did not accept these kolam. So once again, we're back to square one. We don't understand what compelled Rabbi Misharshia to throw out these klolim. Adarav, Rabbi Yochanan was the one who formulated these klolim. And even if Rav rejected these klolim in a machlok stream, Rabbi Yochanan and Rav, we pass them like Rabbi Yochanan. And therefore, Rabbi Misharshia should have verified and accepted these klolim. Ela mehodisnan, but rather he had a Mishnah in Masechet Yevamos. Hayevama, which is a woman whose husband died without leaving any children, meaning he had no children, and he has a brother. She has to fall for Yibum, and the mitzvah is Yibum, to be married to her brother-in-law. Or, in event that he doesn't want to marry her, she doesn't want to marry him, whatever the arrangement is, Chalitza is going to be Matir, her. She's no longer Yevama L'shuk. After she gets Chalitza, she can marry anyone. Lo tachlots vol tisyabim ad shiyula shlosha chadoshim. From the time of her husband's death, Yibum and Chalitza should be postponed for a minimum of 3 months. V'chein shar kol nashim. And this halach applies to any woman who loses her husband, or she's divorced from her husband. She's not permitted to get remarried until 3 months pass by. The reason for this is called Havchana. Havchana means that we're always afraid that when a woman loses her husband, or if her husband divorces her, she may be pregnant. We don't know about it. And if she was pregnant, it would take us 3 months until we would know for sure whether she's pregnant or not. In the event that she's pregnant, if she would have gotten married immediately after the death or the divorce from her husband, then she became pregnant, and we're not sure who's the father of this child, because it's possible that the father of the child is her late husband or the husband that divorced her. We didn't know that she was pregnant, and lo and behold, she's pregnant. Now, there's another possibility that maybe she got pregnant under a second husband. Of course, you could ask, well, when did she give birth? 9 months, 7 months? And the answer is, we don't know whether or not this baby was a 7th month only, what we call a preemie, or was it a full-term baby, meaning 9 months? If it was a 9-month baby, then perhaps the father of the baby was her original husband. If, on the other hand, it's a 7th month baby, then the father of this child is the second husband. So we don't know. Now, there are many halachic implications here and serious, severe halachas that depend upon identifying who the father is. And, for example, a man is not allowed to marry a half-sister if they share the same father, so they have what we would call, it's a paternal sister, and that's a chiv kares. He has to know whether or not his father was Reuven or Shimon. And there are many, many other nafkaminas about Yibum and Yerusha and so forth and so on. So we have to be absolutely clear that this woman who just lost her husband or was divorced is not pregnant. So therefore we have to wait 3 months, and that's called Hukara Ubar. Within a 3-month period, we would be able to determine whether she's pregnant or not. Now the strange part of this Mishnah that we're learning from Yevamos is Lo Tachlots. What does she lose, even if she is pregnant, by Chalitza? Machalitza Mimonavshach is valid. If she is pregnant and she gives birth to a viable child, then she didn't need the chalitza. And the reason for that is she never fell for Yibum. If, on the other hand, she's not pregnant, and then she did fall for Yibum, well, what's invalid about the chalitza? So what's the problem with chalitza over here? And this is a sugya in Masechta Yevamos about the concept of chalitza betos. In other words, it could be that she's pregnant, and therefore the chalitza was a chalitza betos, and that has implications as far as whether she can marry a kohen or not, and so forth. Now, the Mishnah continues and says, lo yinosu v'lo yisarsu. Now here's the big chiddush of lo yisarsu. I understand that during this 3-month period subsequent to, we'll take the case of her husband's death, she can't get married, meaning Erusin plus Nisuin. Back in the day, they used to separate the two, sometimes for even a full year. So that Nisuin is when they culminate the marriage and there's an intimacy between them, and she could get pregnant, and then we don't know for sure who the husband is. But what's wrong with Erusin? Erusin means that she remains in the house of her father. She's not going to have any relations with her Arus. That's not permitted. But nevertheless, the Mishnah says, and this is the Tanakhama of the Mishnah that we'll have to identify who he is, that even Erusin we're going to prohibit, because if we permit Erusin, then who knows what might happen, and they might confuse it with Nisun. Ach yula chsholsha chadoshim, Echad Besulos, Echad Beulos. In other words, it could be that with her first husband who died or divorced her, she never even had a relationship. She's still a Besula. We're not going to make these distinctions. Echad Almanos, Echad Grushos, whether her husband died or whether she got a divorce from her husband. Echad Arusos, Echad Nesuos. Even if she was Nisarmola or Nisgarsha Mina Erison, which means they never they never culminated this marriage with a you know, with a maisa bia. Nevertheless, we don't make any of these distinctions. In all cases, a woman became an almana, she became a grusha, she has to wait 3 chadashim, 3 months before she can get remarried. No distinctions. It's an absolute all-inclusive rule. This is the opinion of the Tanakhama. So this is what we call, in the language of Shas, it's usually called havchana. Havchana means the ability to distinguish between a 9-month-old baby to the first husband or a 7-month-old baby to the second, and therefore we require wait 3 months after the death, after she became an almana, or after she became a grusha. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he disagrees with the Tanakhama, and he says, Nisuos yisarsu. If she's only a Nisua, I'm sorry, if she's a Nisua, and then she became an almana or a grusha, then I can understand that she's not allowed to get remarried because she had already culminated her marriage relationship with her first husband. She might be pregnant from him. But nevertheless, although she, a Nesua, who became an almana or a grusha, cannot get remarried within 3 months, that's only as far as Nesuin is concerned. But Yisarsu, what's the problem if she wants to have just Erisin, which formalizes the marriage but doesn't allow for an intimacy? And Arusos, if she became an almana or a grusha mina erisin, so she was never in a suah to begin with, which means she never culminated her marriage with an intimacy with her first husband, her late husband, or her ex-husband, is then yinasu. I don't care if she gets full married with intimate relations with her second husband, there's no problem, because she was not pregnant from the first husband. It was only an arusa, an erisin situation. Chutz me arusa shebi Yehuda, mibdei shalibo gaspa. This is sugya masechtik subas, that in Yehuda, they wanted to encourage an intimacy even during erisin. How they could do that is a complicated problem, but that's for learning subas, mirtz Hashem. So that's the shita Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yossi now goes a step further. He completely rejects the concept of havchana. Kol anoshim yisarsu, as far as Erisin is concerned, all the women can get married. We only need havchana if there was nesuin. And this whole business that we should make a gzera, that if we allow her to get remarried immediately in the case of an arusa, then maybe we'll get confused, and even in the case of the suah, he doesn't hold from that whole thing. Chutz min ha'almana b'pnei ha'ibu. The only exception is that if a woman had erisin and not nisuin, we're not going to let her get married within 30 days. Yeah, we're not talking about 3 months of 90 days, now we're only talking about 30 days. But they are ibul, because she's obligated in the laws of Avelus, and within the context of the laws of Avelus, she's not a get a marriage. Marriage is antithetical to Avelus. Now, this only applies to the case of a woman whose husband died. If her husband actually delivered a divorce, there's no Avelus over here, obviously, and therefore she can get married immediately after the Gerush. That's in the case of Kol Anoshim Yisars. In other words, any woman, even though she was a married woman, she became divorced or widowed, she can get married, but only heirs. Unless there's a problem of Avelus. Okay. That's the Mishnah in Masechta Yevamos. And again, if we had more time, we would go into great detail about this Mishnah, but let's learn Masechta Erevin. V'amrinat. The Gemara quotes Rabbi Elazar in Masechta Yevamos. Lo ol lebei midrasha. On one particular day, he didn't show up in the Beis Medrash. Ashkeche l'Rav Asi. He encountered Rav Asi. Da'avi koim. He was standing there. Amalei, so Rabbi Elazar is curious. He says to Rav Asi, my omar b'chi b'bei midrasha. What did they say in the Beis Medrash that I missed today? Was there any radical, important statement? Omar Leser Avasi responds, Hachi Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha ki Rabbi Yossi. Halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, who allows erusin immediately after a woman gets divorced. Now, if Rabbi Yochanan paskins like Rabbi Yossi, then we have to infer the following conclusion, Michlal di Yechida Poligale, that the Tanakam who disagrees with Rabbi Yossi is a Yechida. It's one particular Tana. He's anonymous, so far we don't know who he is, but it's only one Tana. Why? Because we have a principle of Yachid v'Rabim, Alochik v'Rabim. And if the majority opinion would argue against a single view, then we would paskin like the majority. And the Gemara says, this is actually true, and I'm going to prove it to you from the following brisa, that the Tanakam is only a Das Yochid. It's only one individual, and that's why Rabbi Yochanan felt comfortable paskining like Rabbi Yossi. Haresha Hoysa Redufa. Okay, now this brisa is going to give us a long list of cases where a woman became a Grusha or an Almona, and there was no possibility that she was pregnant at the time. For example, Redufa Lelech Lebeis Avia. In other words, she spent her time in the house of her father. She was not living together with her husband. Oh, Shahayla Kas Imbalo, or maybe they were broken up, they were separated. And again, we don't assume that there was any intimate relations. Oh, Shahayla Zakin, or her husband was too old. Or the doctors determined that he was incapable of performing sexually. Or perhaps she was very weak and she could not have possibly participated in intimate relations. Or she couldn't have children because she was barren. And the Gemara says that's a case where she was married to three different men and she never gave birth. Kana, she was past menopause. Ktana, she was too young to bear children. And this is an entire sugya all over the place about how young a woman could be to give birth, but she was too young. V'chena Islandis, that's a woman who has not produced the simonim of godless, of naris, and she's already 20 years old. She cannot have children. She'ena re'uyo lele. Or a woman who took a certain drug that made her impotent, that made her impossible for her to bear children. Or we know for a fact that a husband could not have had relations. He's locked up in jail. And in additional cases, Hamapeles li achar misas balo, a woman who had nebuch a miscarriage after her husband died. Kulam, in all these cases, nevertheless, despite the fact that we know that she's not pregnant, Tzrichin lahamtin shlosha chadoshim divrei Rabbi Meir. She still, the rule is an ironclad absolute rule. The Iser always applies. It's absolute across the board. In all these cases where we know she's not pregnant, still she has to wait 3 months to get remarried. And that's a gzera because we're afraid that in other cases of women who could become pregnant, they would not wait the 3 months. So therefore we made it an absolute rule straight across the board. Even women who are certainly not pregnant will have to wait 3 months. A woman whose husband dies or divorces her must wait 3 months. That's the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi, Mate li ores uli nose miyad. Rabbi Yossi did not accept this gzera. And in all these cases of a woman who certainly, beyond a shadow of a doubt, is not pregnant, she can get remarried immediately. So we see clearly from this brisa that Rabbi Meir is the bar plukta of Rabbi Yossi. He's the Tanakhama of HaMishnah in Yevamos, and he's a Das Yochid, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan feels absolutely free to paskin like Rabbi Yossi against the Tanakhama, because he's paskin like Rabbi Yossi against Rabbi Meir. So now the Gemara asks the question, Lomali, why did Rabbi Yochanan feel compelled to paskin like Rabbi Yossi when we have klolim? And one of the klolim is that in a machlokas between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, we paskin like Rabbi Yossi. And in a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. So certainly, in a machlokas between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir, certainly we paskin like Rabbi Meir. So from the very fact that Rabbi Yochanan felt compelled to paskin like Rabbi Yossi in this case against Rabbi Meir, it must be that he rejected all these klolim. Otherwise, it was completely superfluous and unnecessary for him to paskin like Rabbi Yossi. So Gemara says, "My kusha." That's not a really good proof, because this is a case where logically we would have applied a different rule of psak, and we would have paskin like Rabbi Meir. What is that rule? Lafuki, Rabbi Yochanan wants to exclude another principle which he didn't accept and he rejected, and that's the principle of Nachman Amar Shmuel, the Amar Halacha, Ki Rabbi Meir B'Gzeirosa. That although it's true, there are many other Tanoim that outdistance Rabbi Meir in Psak Halacha, but the exception and the area in which we always accept Rabbi Meir, according to Shmuel, is Gzeirosov. Here's a case of a Gzeira. Rabbi Meir is worried that if you allow her to get remarried when she could not be pregnant, then another woman, or she herself in another marriage, would get married even though she could have been pregnant from her first husband. And therefore the Hava Mina was that in this particular context, we should paskin like Rabbi Meir against Rabbi Yossi, despite the klal, the general rule, that in a machlok shin Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir, we paskin like Rabbi Yossi. So once again, we're back to square one. We don't know what compelled Rabbi Misharshia to establish that we reject these klalim, meaning that even Rabbi Yochanan rejects these klalim. Elami hadesanya, he got it from a brisa. Holchim liyarid shel nochrim. Now, the Goyim were idol worshippers. They had their various days of celebration. Yom Ejom, it's called. And when it was Yom Ejom, they also had shvakot, meaning they had marketplaces. And we should not be really hanging out there in the marketplaces on those holidays of the idol worshippers, because idolatry, which again it's hard for us to understand why, was very alluring. But nevertheless, the Braisa says, Holchim liyarid shel nochrim, we're allowed to go to the marketplace during on their holidays. V'lokchim mehen behema, v'avodim, u'shvachos, batim, sados, u'kramim. And we could buy all these different things. And the principle here is to be memait berchusham. It has to do with Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Or perhaps because we have a need for these various possessions. And therefore, they made a separate allowance that the Jews would be allowed, even on the idol celebrations, those calendar dates that were Yom Ejom, to go out and buy these things in the Shuk. Not only that, even moreover, Umale Barcho Shalahem, and he could go into their courts in order to get a notarized stempel on the shtar, so that if later on the goy will deny that he sold this bias or the sod or whatever it might be, a behema, they have proof from the archos. And again, this is also something that under normal conditions we would be very inhibited to allow going into the courts of the goyim on the day of their holiday. Because all this is a case where he's saving and protecting his possessions from the goyim, by again, as we said before, getting the official recognition of the validity of the document, the shtar, so that the seller, the non-Jewish seller, would not be able to deny the sale. Vimhoya kohen, a kohen is not allowed to contract tumah. Mitami b'chutzlaretz, we're even going to allow him, in certain cases, to go to Chutzlaretz. Now, we have a gzera called Tumas Avira de Chutzlaretz. Normally, we don't allow Kohenim to go to Chutzlaretz because of this Tuma de Rabbanan, this rabbinic Tuma of Tumas Avir in Chutzlaretz, Eretz Amen. But Lodunali Ar Imoyem, if let's say there's an issue of monetary significance and it has to be taken up in the courts, and in order to protect his possessions, the Kohen has to go to Chutzlaretz to show up in the courts there, we're going to allow him to do so. Ukshem shemetame b'chutzlaretz, kach metame v'beis hakvaros. we're even going to allow him to go into a cemetery. Gemara says that's impossible. For a kohen to go into a cemetery is a violation of a lav d'oraisa. We can't allow that just because he needs, you know, to show up in a court. Beis hakfar salkedaitoch tuba d'oraisa ella beis hapras d'rabbonu. Right? Remember we discussed beis hapras a little bit earlier in the perek, and it's a case where it was a soda and a graveside was nechrash, was plowed in, and we're always afraid that maybe the Kohen would step on. That's only a tumah d'rabbanan. So for the sake of his loss of possessions, we're going to allow him to go into a beis hapras. The Braisa now continues and says, umetame, and the Kohen is allowed to be metame any of these tumos, for example, going to chutz laretz, lisa isha, in order to get married, for lilmo Torah, or to study Torah. And the question is, what about other mitzvahs? That's a major issue. But anyway, for these two high-powered mitzvahs, to find a wife or to learn Torah, he's allowed to go to chutz laretz, and we will waive the Iser and the Tumah d'Rabbanan of Eretz Amen. Om Rabbi Yehuda, Emasai, Rabbi Yehuda wants to cut this down and add a condition. Bizman Shein Motzi Lilmot. There's no Rebbe who could teach him here in Eretz Yisrael, so they can remain in a state of tahara. Aval motzi lilmo lo yitame, but if he can find a Rebbe, okay, maybe he has another Rebbe in Chutz Laretz, but we're not going to let the Kohen go to Chutz Laretz if he has the possibility of learning Torah here in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yossi Omer, af bizman shemotze lilmod nami yitame. Even though there are Rebbeim here in Eretz Yisrael, in Makom Tara, he's still allowed, permitted to go to Chutz Laretz, even though he's a Kohen. Lefi, and here we turn to Daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis, Ein Minakol Zocha Adam Lilma. Okay, there's a great Rebbe here in Eretz Yisrael, but he has chemistry. We'll call it chemistry. Okay. He has a personal chemistry with one of the Rebbeim in Chutz Laretz. Excuse me, Rav Osef, for 1 minute. Your birthday, and they want to know, you know, your mother's name and your.
Okay.
Yeah, I got a little stuff. I mean,
all right. All right.
I really think it'll take you 5 minutes. Okay. The Omer Rabbi Yosi, Ma'isa Rabbi Yosef HaKohen, Shalach Etzel Rabo Litzaydo Lumot Torah, and in order to support his position, Rabbi Yosi actually quotes a case that happened with somebody by the name of Yosef HaKohen. We know someone by that name, Yosef HaKohen. Anyway, he went to Tzaidon, which is up north, in Chutz Laretz.
Tzaidon, in Lebanon.
In Lebanon, Tzidon. Right. Excellent. Tzaidon, in order to study Torah. Even though there were plenty of Rebbeim in Eretz Yisrael, but he felt that he would have a certain chemistry with this Rebbe in Lebanon, this Lebanese Rebbe. Maybe he was a Sfaradi, I don't know. And therefore, they let him go to Chutz Laretz. So you see that I'm right, that you don't have to limit yourself as Rabbi Yehuda would and say, well, if there are Bayim here in Eretz Yisrael, then we're not going to allow him to go to Chutz Laretz. V'yomer Rabbi Yochanan halacha ki Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yochanan discovered America. We're going to paskin like Rabbi Yossi. Lovely. If Rabbi Yochanan accepted all the klolim that he himself attributed, is Amar Ha'amid, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Halacha Rabbi Yossi. This is not a radical chiddush that he has to say, oh, we're going to pass him like Rabbi Yossi, Lekula, and we're going to let this Talmud, who's a Kohen, go to Chutz Laretz to study with the Rebbe that he fills the chemistry with. No. That's just an application of a general rule, that whenever there's Machlok Shirin Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, we pass him like Rabbi Yossi. Amar Abaye, Itztrich. Despite the fact that Rabbi Yochanan has this klal that we paskin Rabbi Yossi against Rabbi Yehuda, he felt compelled to teach us in this case that we're going to paskin like Rabbi Yossi. The Salkadat, I mean, I would have thought, Hani, Miliv Masnisa, Rabbi Brysa, Emeloka, Mashmalon. a Mishnah is much more reliable than a Braisa. So if we have a record of a machlokes between, let's say, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda in a Mishnah, if it's recorded in a Mishnah, then it goes without saying, we apply the general universal klal, and we pass it like Rabbi Yossi. But here, in this case of going for a coin to go to Chutzlitz, it's only a Braisa. A Braisa is much less reliable, and the klalim of Psak do not apply to the Braisa. That was the Havamina. Kamash Malon, Rabbi Yochanan wants to say, no, we're going to apply this klal of halachic Rabbi Yossi, not only in a Mishnah, but even in a Braisa. Ela Hachi Kamar. So finally, we're at the end of the sugya, this long sugya of Rav Misharshia. This is what Rav Misharshia meant to say. Hani Kloli Lav Divri Akol Minu. He was only making a comment that not everyone accepted these klolim. In fact, Rav, as we saw before, rejected these klolim. Do Rav Lesle Lahani Kloli. Rav, as we saw earlier, had to paskin in Halacha Rabbi Yehuda and Machlokas with Rabbi Meir with regard to setting up an heir of Beraglov. And that's the only comment that Rav Misharshia made. He was misquoted if you thought he said that we reject all these klolim. He's just saying that not everyone accepted all these klolim. And he's making a point that Rav did not accept these klolim. In fact, we will accept these klolim. The Rambam Lalocha paskins like these klolim and codifies them, even in the case of a Braisa, and even in Durabonans. And the reason for that is because Rabbi Yochanan was the one who accepted these klolim. And we never found any proof against that to indicate that Rabbi Yochanan backtracked and he dropped the ball on these klolim. No. He accepted these klolim. Om Rabbi Yehuda Meshmuel, now we start a new sugya. I mean, we've touched on this in the past. And this has to do with utensils. And we said that utensils, inanimate objects, are they Kodesh Visa or are they not Kodesh Visa? So the answer is, if they're owned by a Jew, then they are Kodesh Visa Kiragle Habalim. In other words, they are limited in terms of where you can relocate them by the same limitations of their owner. But what happens in the case A of Hefker? Nobody owns them. Are they Kalim Kodesh Visa? And that's a chumrah, by the way, because somebody, some Jew, acquired ownership during the course of Shabbos or Yontif, and he would like to have the freedom of taking these kalim all 2,000 amah around his tchum. But there's one sheet, as we'll soon see, that says that nichsei hefker, cheftei hefker, are kodesh visa. And then we're going to have the case of a guy. A guy owns kalim. So let's say, for example, I borrow a kli from a guy. Am I limited based on the tchum of the guy? Well, a guy doesn't have tchum. The whole concept of kinyan shvisa, being kona shvisa, is inapplicable to a guy. Om Rabbi Yehuda Mar Shmuel, cheftei nochri ein konim shvisa. If I get a hold of a kli of a guy, and the guy was in location X at the onset of Shabbos, I'm not limited by the tchum of the keli as it was Bein HaShemashes entering in Shabbos, but rather, I will determine, as a Jew, what the tchum of the keli is, because cheftei nochrim einam konim shvis. The Gemara says, Laman. According to which sheet in the Machlokes Tanoim did Shmuel make his statement? I lemel Rabbanon. I don't think Shmuel is adding anything if he's going according to the Rabbanon. The Rabbanon were of the opinion that Cheftei Hefker Einam Kodim Shvisa. And if Cheftei Hefker Einam Kodim Shvisa, we'll soon see it with a Kalva Chomer, certainly Cheftei Nachri Einam Kodim Shvisa. And I don't need Shmuel to paskin that Cheftei Nachri Einam Kodim Shvisa. Pshita. Hashta. And here's the Kalva Chomer. Cheftei Hefker Deleslehu Bailim. And therefore you would think that if there's no Baal, then certainly it could be Kodesh Shvisa, but nevertheless the Rabbanan say Einam Kodesh Shvisa. Why? Because we need some sort of connection to a Bailim, and there is none in the case of an ownerless Kli. Is Cheftei Nachri de Isle Bailim? And as far as the Bailim are concerned, in this case, they don't have a Din Shvisa at all, so that concept of Einam Kodesh Shvisa is totally foreign and inapplicable to the Goy. So again, we have a grayer here, so to speak. In other words, the keli is nigrar lebailov. Not in the case of Hefker, there's no bailin, but in the case of Nochri, he has bailus. And therefore the keli is nigrar bos of bailim, and the bailim can't be konishvisa, so certainly the keli is not konishvisa. So then by process of elimination, if Shmuel is telling me something I didn't know, Ela liba de Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. He must be going to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who holds that nichte chefte hefker konim shvisa, which means wherever that object is during Ben HaShemosh is entering into Shabbos, that's where it's limited in shvisa. Kamash malah, now Shmuel wants to tell me, Eimer di Omer Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Kaval de Gechidish. That's only konim shvisa animili bechefte hefker. In the case of chefte hefker, since leslu bailim, there's no one that we could be gorer baser bailim, then we're left with the kli itself. In the absence of bailim, we're left with the kli, and the kli is konim shvisa in its place, in its location, bein hashmoshes. Avol chefte nochri, here's the chiddush of Shmuel. The islu bailim, where there's grera, there's a connection between the kli and its bailim. Lo, there's no kinyan shvisa because the bailim, which is the nochri, is completely mufka, is completely excluded from being kona shvisa. Meisve, the bnei yeshiva raised the following objection from a brisa. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, if a Jew is shoel kli ben anochri biyontiv, in the middle of Yontif, he borrows, the Jew Yankel borrows a kli from Jean-Jacques. V'chein amashil lo nochri. Kli may erev Yontif. So that the kli is konish visa in the reshus of the nochri at the onset of Yontif. And then the nochri lent the Jew the kli. V'chziro lo. Oh, I'm sorry. In this case, the Jew lent a kli to a nochri. The nochri is the shoel; he's a borrower, and had zero biyontif. And the guy returns the kli to the Jew on yontif, and v'kelim v'otzos, which are peros that are usually placed in a storage, and they are hefker. Right now, no one owns them. Sheshavzu b'toch hatchum. If they were konish visa ben hashmoshos inside the city, is yeshlam alpayim amal l'chol ruach. In these cases, they get alpayim amal l'chol ruach. And you see that cheftei nochrim konim shvisa bimkomon. And according to what we said in Shmuel, that's not going to work out according to anybody, because even Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who holds a cheftei hefker a konim shvisa, agrees that cheftei nochri are not konim shvisa. Is Yeshlam alpayim amal l'chol ruach v'nochri shehevi lo peros michutz tchum areza lo yazizem bimkomon. Right, these peros were konish visa bimkomon at the time of the onset of yontif. So we see clearly from this price that the cheftei nochri konim shvisa bimkomon is now we're really in trouble. Iyamet bishleim of the kosovar. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri cheftei nochri konim shvisa. If according to the original presentation that we had, that Rabbi Yochanan holds that just like Chefte Hefker Akonim Shvisa, so too Chefte Nochri Akonim Shvisa, Hamani, this price reflects the Shita Rabbi Yochanan Nuri. Ela I Amrit, but according to our Maskana, in order to justify what the Chiddush of Shmuel was, because Sav Rabbi Yochanan Nuri Chefte Nochri Einom Konim Shvisa, meaning the Chiddush of Shmuel was that even though Rabbi Yochanan Nuri holds that Cheftei Hefker ain't Konim Shvisa. I'm sorry. Even though Rabbi Yochanan Nuri holds that Cheftei Hefker Konim Shvisa, that's because they're not Nigrarim to the Bailim. But in the case of Cheftei Nochri, ain't on Konim Shvisa. If that be the case in this price, Almani, who's the author of this price? A loker of Yochanan Nuri, a loker of Bona. So now the Gemara backtracks and reinterprets Shmuel. Li'olam kasavar Rabbi Yochanan Nuri cheftei nochri konim shvisa. In other words, now the maskona, the Gemara maintains that Rabbi Yochanan Nuri equates cheftei nochri with cheftei hefker, and in both cases they konim shvisa. And the brisa of Rav Shimon Elazar that we just learned reflects the shita of Rav Yochanan Nuri that Cheftzei Nachri Akodim Shvisa, and that's why Yeshlem Alpayim Amal Chol Ruach. Shmuel Diomer Karabana, and when Shmuel said that Cheftzei Nachri Einam Kodim Shvisa, he was simply paskening like the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan say that Cheftzei Hefker Einam Kodim Shvisa, and Kolshkin how much more so Cheftzei Nachri Einam Kodim Shvisa. Uder Kamrit. But we rejected that interpretation because l'rabbanan pshita, what would be the chiddush according to the rabbanan? And now we get into what's called the gzera d'rabbanan. Ma'od etem, I would have said, gzera bailim d'nachri atu bailim d'Yisrael. We should establish that a guy is kona shvisa, is kelim a kona shvisa, just like the kelim of Yisrael a kona shvisa. Because in both cases we have Bailim, and one could confuse one case with the other. If we allow for the halacha of Cheftzei Nachrim Einam Konu Shvisa, somebody might mistakenly come to the conclusion that Cheftzei Hefker Einam Konu, that Cheftzei Bailim Yisrael Einam Konu Shvisa is called Mashmalon. Shmuel wants to be Mechadesh, that the Chachom are not Choshesh, they don't have this Gezera, and therefore they hold that Cheftzei Nachri Einam Konu Shvisa, just like Cheftzei Hefker. So comes out Rabosei Lamaskona that according to Shmuel, there's a machlokus between the Rabbanon and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri as far as number one, Cheftzei Hefker, and number two, as far as Cheftzei Nachri. According to Chachamim, in both cases they're not Konish Vis. According to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, in both cases they are Konish Vis. The Gemara now brings an opinion of Rabbi Yochanan that disagrees with Shmuel. For Rabbi Chiya bar Ovid Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Cheftzei Nachri Konim Shvisa, that Lalocha, we're going to accept this Gzera. Gzera Bailim did Nachri Atu Bailim di Yisrael. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, there's no machlok between Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and the Chachamim, except for the case of Cheftzei Hefker. But in the case of Cheftzei Nachri, everybody agrees, even Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, that they are Konish Shvisa because of Gzera Atu Bailim di Yisrael. Hanu Dichri, the Gemara has a story about Kvasim Zcharim, male sheep, which is called an Ayal. The Asu, they were brought by Goyim on Yontif from Chutz L'Tchum to a place called Mavrachta. And Shari Lahu Rava Libnei Machoza Lemizvan Minayim. And Rava permitted the members of his city in Mechoza to buy these Elim for the purpose of Sudas Yontif and to bring them to Mechoza, because Mechoza and Mavrachta were within 2,000 Amah one of each other. And I'm sorry, they were actually 4,000 Amah one from the other, but they put up an Erev Tchumen right in between the two cities. And therefore he allowed his local Bnei Iro in Mechoza to buy these Elim, even they were brought, they were brought Michutz L'Tchum. Amalei Ravina, Rava Mai Daitech, what's the svar for you to be matir, that which was brought Chutz L'Tchum on Yontif? You must hold, like the sheet of Amar D'Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Cheftzei Nachri Ein Konim Shvisa. That even though this Ayal, or these Ayalim, were Chutz L'Tchum, but they were owned by a Nachri. Veha Shmuel v'Rabbi Yochanan, halacha ki Rabbi Yochanan. We have a principle that although Shmuel was Mekil, but Rabbi Yochanan we saw was Machmir, we passed like Rabbi Yochanan against Shmuel. V'yomer Rabbi Chiya bar Avinam Rabbi Yochanan, Cheftzei Nachri Konim Shvisa, as we saw before. Gzeira Bailim de Nachri Atu Bailim de Yisrael. Hodevei Rava. So Rava rescinded his original heter, and he told him, Lizdavnu Livnei Mavrachta. You want to sell the Elim in Mavrachta, that's fine, because they could be metaltel anywhere in the city, and that's where these Elim were in Mavrachta. But as far as the Bnei Mechuzah is concerned, that's us, because that was brought Chutz L'Tchum, and Nichsei Akum Konim Shvisa. Cheftzei Nachri Konim Shvisa. The Kula Mavrachta L'Ditu Ki Arba Amos Damya. The entire city of Mavracht is considered one Tchum, and therefore these Elim were not taken Chutz L'Tchum. And even though the Bnei Mechuza are not allowed to buy them and take them into their city, because they were Kona Shvisa in Mavrachta, but the city of Mavrachta, anywhere in the city, that's one tchum, and they can enjoy this bread. Tani Rav Chia, Cherem, Shebein Tchumei Shabbos, Tzarech Mechitza. All right, this is already a brand new sugya, and this will have to leave for Shabbos. Okay then, so we're up to the last line on Daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis, and Emirtz Hashem, Bli Neder, on Erev Yom Kippur, on Sunday, we will study together Daf Memtes. Okay, so let's make a note of it. Maybe we'll start on the bottom of Memches Amud Beis, Om Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Okay then. So I'll thank you, and it was very, Baruch Hashem, very meaningful week. I think if we would review everything that we learned, we'd be big Talmid Chacham. All right, if you're around at 10:30, Mirtz Hashem, we'll learn some Meshech Chochmah on the Parsha. Thank you very much. Shabbat Shalom and Gemara Chasimah Tov.